This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time 1205. Welcome to the Monday edition of the WBBM Noon Business Hour, presented by the Village of Bedford Park. I'm Jim Goodis. Right now in Chicago, we've got a mix of sun and clouds with a temperature of 78 at O'Hare. I'm going to see the low 80s away from the lake. It'll stay in the 70s by the lake. Let's get the very latest on what's going on the markets live. We go to Bloomberg and Elisa Peretti.
Well, Jim, as you know, we started with some small losses, but now Wall Street has turned it around. We've got small gains with the Dow up 12 points, NASDAQ adding 13, S&P up 5. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index was lower by about a third of a percent, now in the red by less than a tenth of a percent. One thing the main averages have in common is Microsoft, and that stock is headed for another record. Banks are the ones leading the recovery as interest rates rise. So we've got some positive elements that are helping to push the averages higher today. On the downside, we got some downbeat economic news. Sales of previously owned homes fell, and that was for the third month in a row in June. The National Association of Realtors says too few houses on the market and rising prices have taken a toll on sales. Auto industry stocks are struggling, led by Fiat Chrysler and Tesla. Fiat Chrysler has lost its longtime leader to complications after shoulder surgery. Sergio Marchionne has been forced to step down. In his place, the company has named the head of its Jeep division. And Tesla shares falling after that. Wall Street Journal report said Tesla is asking its suppliers for refunds going back as far as 2016. Back to you, Jim.
We have a lot to talk about on today's WBBM Noon Business Hour. We've got trade talk. We've got housing news, as Elisa just mentioned. We've got a lot of earnings reports coming in. We'll take a look at all of that. For first-time home buyers, a little bit of help in getting the money you need to get started. We'll have some tips. We'll take a look at Wall Street and earnings. Toy makers are very happy. They're seeing their earnings doing very well, even though Toys R Us, one of their big outlets, is shut down. And, of course, it's Stock Picker Monday, so we'll give you some tips on what you might want to look at in the market. That's all ahead on the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
First-time homebuyers face challenges not only in finding a property, but also financing it. And we'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, we're starting the week off with the latest look at sales of existing homes. The upcoming days will include the latest report on U.S. economic growth, word out of the European Central Bank. And so with all of that ahead and coming, we're going to be joined by Carl Riccadonna, the chief U.S. economist at Bloomberg out of New York. So, Carl, of all those things, what do you think is the most important thing we need to keep an eye on and why?
Well, certainly the main focus is going to be on any escalation of trade tensions and further expansion of tariffs. So we're watching how those concerns are potentially percolating into business sentiment or animal spirits. And the risk is that if business sentiment sours, we could see a pullback in either hiring or investment at some point, maybe in the current quarter or at least in the second half of the year.
Is the ECB where we might see that, or are there other places where we might see an escalation in the trade disputes?
Well, the ECB meeting is coming up on Thursday of this week. As I talk to my colleagues across the pond in our London office, they suggest that this will be a pretty blasé ECB meeting, and there may be some discussion of trade, but no major announcements coming from the ECB at this time.
Let's talk about home sales, existing home sales falling for the third month in a row. What is the reason for that, and why aren't more people with prices rising putting their homes on the market? That seems to be the big issue, that there's just not enough supply.
That's the issue. You've hit the nail on the head here, that it really is a supply issue. So when we think about housing market activity, we shouldn't just think about the level of mortgage rates. It's really the broader affordability question. And affordability is really a three-variable equation. So we've got prices, We've got interest rates or financing costs. But the other side of the story is household income growth. And so even though the mortgage rates are creeping up, affordability isn't changing all that much, which means that housing demand should hold up. The problem that we've seen and that we've seen over the last couple of months is that there's just not enough supply on the market. Builders can't keep up in the new home space. And similarly, in the resale space, there's not enough people putting their homes on the market. And so as we look at something like an inventory supply ratio or the month supply of inventory on the market, and that's running at 4.3 months right now, which means that the market would completely clear in just 4.3 months. And that's a historically low level, and it tells us that the inventory is simply not there. Demand is strong, though, because prices continue to rise.
Carl, are there any earnings reports this week that you are particularly interested in?
I think we'll be watching the broader tone of those, but our focus will be specifically on the big industrials to see global industrial firms, how they're grappling with trade tensions and potentially reorienting the supply chains as a result.
And why are we seeing some struggling today in terms of tech shares and in retail? What's causing those two to have some issues?
Well, we've found retail to be very sensitive to the potential of trade escalation, trade war escalation, as so many of the goods that we put in our shopping baskets come from overseas. So if we really are going to see a significant expansion of tariffs, and that has been the rhetoric from the White House over the past couple of days, then that would mean that the price of those goods would go up, and in turn, consumers would buy less of them. So that's the retail story in a nutshell. Tech shares, also factor into this narrative, as the other side of tariffs is the administration clamping down on investment in tech and companies and industries of strategic importance in the U.S.
Carl Riccadonna, the chief U.S. economist for Bloomberg out of New York, thanks as always for your perspective. Coming up, advice for the first-time homebuyer.
The best daily deal in Chicago, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
A home is generally the biggest investment in most people's lives, and that can make buying your first one a stressful event. So let's get some help from Brian Wickert, the president and owner of AccuNet Mortgage out of Milwaukee. So, Brian, if you either are a first-time home buyer, or you know someone, or maybe your child is thinking about buying a home for the first time, what are some tips to help them?
Well, I think one of the biggest misconceptions out there of first-time homebuyers is that they walk around thinking, gosh, I think I need a 10% down payment or a 5% down payment. So the first thing that we need people to realize is it only takes a 3% down payment for first-time homebuyers to buy a house. So last month, the median sales price in Chicago area, in the nine-county area, was $263,000. So 3% of that is about $7,900. That's all you really need to buy that median sales price, a home in Chicago, and all that money can come from a gift. That's where the parents can really help out.
Now, Brian, it's one thing to, prepare to actually take out the first mortgage that you have. It's another to kind of do a little bit of homework and work with your lender, because there are several options out there, and I imagine a lot of people don't really look at all the options they have to find the loan that's right for them.
Well, that's true. And although I would say in this particular interest rate market that we're in right now, Jim, the good old 30-year fixed rate is the go-to option. But then within that category, what a lot of people don't realize is there are further options. For example, lenders like my company, AccuNet, we can offer people loans with no monthly private mortgage insurance. And that can oftentimes be a big payment savings for people, but they're not aware of that particular option.
In fact, a lot of people, find out later on, as maybe as they're going through the process, they go, oh, I've got to pay PMI. So it's really important to check, not only, what the rate is, but the other fees and costs and potential costs connected with the various options you have.
Absolutely. And the other thing that we really like to educate first-time homebuyers on is that there is more to the cash needed at closing than just the down payment. And especially in places like the city of Chicago, where there is a city transfer tax, That adds up to sometimes a couple $1,000s. But again, those additional closing costs can be paid by one of three people: the buyer, they can also be paid by the seller, or they can come from a gift. Oh, there's a fourth one. The mortgage lender can kick in some money towards those closing costs. And at my company, again, and there are others that do this as well, it's not uncommon for us to provide the home buyer with an option where we might chip in as much as $1,000 or $1,200 towards those closing costs in exchange for just a slightly higher rate.
So, Brian, any other tips you have for first-time home buyers or those who know a first-time home buyer?
Absolutely. One is, don't be afraid of the annual. What people know in their head is, oh, the IRS has an annual gift exclusion of $15,000. So we get a lot of parents and grandparents think that that's the most that they can give to their son, daughter, grandson, whatever. That's not true. You can actually give, are you ready, up to $11.18 million without paying any gift tax, but more commonly, without reporting anything to the IRS, grandma and grandpa could give $60,000 to their grandson and granddaughter-in-law without reporting anything to the IRS. So don't be afraid to ask mom, dad, grandma, and grandpa for a gift to help you buy that first house.
That's Brian Wickert, the president and owner of AccuDent Mortgage out of Milwaukee. Brian, thanks so much for all of those helpful tips. Still ahead, the loss of Toys R Us stores opens up opportunities for other retailers. WBBM News Time, 12:25. This update on the markets is sponsored by Top Grading Snapshot. Let's go live to Bloomberg and Elisa Peretti.
Jim, the Dow is lower now by 12 points. NASDAQ up 7, S&P adding 3. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg down 0.2%. Oil futures lower by 0.75% to $67.73. For a check of the grains, we turn to Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We have mixed grain prices here. Corn at the moment for December up 2.25, 3.71 1/4, quarter off its high. Beans for November down 0.25 at 8.95, and the wheat for September up 2 at 5.18. Mixed prices here at the Board of Trade, and this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Pete. I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Welcome to the second half of the WBBM Noon Business Hour, presented by the Village of Bedford Park. I'm Jim Gutis, and these are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Markets mixed at this hour. We'll see what's impacting Wall Street. It's Stock Picker Monday. We'll get some ideas from a money pro. Toy makers and retailers adjust to life after the demise of Toys R Us. Mayoral candidate Willie Wilson gives away around $250,000 to people at a church service, but insists it has nothing to do with his bid for office. And Toronto's mayor calls gun violence an international problem following an attack in the city that left two people dead and the shooter dead as well. WBBM Business, the Dow is now down 7%. The S&P 500 up 4, the NASDAQ's ahead by 10 points. The WBBM AccuWeather forecast, sun and clouds today, high of 82 but staying in the 70s by the lake. Patchy clouds tonight heading down to 62 in the western suburbs, 69 by Chicago's lakefront. Right now at O'Hare, it's 81 degrees. WBBM News Time, 12:31. Markets are sluggish as we head into a very busy earnings week, and we're joined by Gary Kaltbaum, the president of Kaltbaum Capital Management, and Fox News business contributor in Orlando. So first, Gary, let's talk about what the markets are reacting to at this hour.
Well, first off, I wouldn't call the market sluggish. They're just sitting around for the last few days. There's nothing wrong with that. We've had a very good move off the lows as we head into earnings. Earnings are going to be strong. The big question is, what is guidance going to look like? That'll dictate. If we start hearing that we're seeing the peak in earnings, I think the market will suffer some, but so far, so good.
Gary, how concerned should anyone be about the housing numbers, third month in a row that existing home sales are down?
I'd be concerned, and the simple reason why. I'm a big believer that a lot of the housing move has been based off artificially lowered interest rates. Same thing they did in 04, 05, 06. I'm not calling for the same disaster like we had in 07, 08, but leave no doubt, I think there's a little bit of a bubble in there, and I suspect housing's not going to be as great as it has been the last few years going forward.
Now let's talk about earnings. Are there any earnings in particular that you are going to be keeping a very close eye on this week?
Well, I look at bellwethers, and it's not necessarily just the earnings, but it's the reaction to the earnings. Sometimes stocks already have made a big move into the earnings. The earnings come out, they're great, and the stocks still go down. For me, the big bellwethers are in growth will be Amazon, Facebook, Google, Apple, but also I want to see financials. And the good news is recently financials have been acting better when they were in a coma for about 7-8 months. And that's good news because if the market's going to go higher, financials have to be a part of the equation. And with the yields on the long end ticking up here, the margins are deemed to be expanding, and that's helping out here.
Speaking of yields, we're seeing a flattening of the yield curve. So for those who aren't quite familiar, maybe a little business 101 here, what exactly is a yield curve, and why is the yield curve flattening?
Well, yield curve is just the spread between short and long-term interest rates. It's had a very good reputation when the yield curve flattens or go inverse, which means short-term yields are higher than long-term yields. It usually presages a recession. I'm not so sure this time because we've had so much distortion by central banks. For me, the best thing to look at will be the markets. Along with interest rates, if the markets start to gag, if you really start to see things breaking down in a very big way, that'll be the tell for me. As far as interest rates, we're still at 2.9% on the 10-year and just over 3% on the 30-year. So yields are still ridiculously low, and I'm not worried too much about it at this juncture.
Speaking of central banks, the European Central Bank meeting this week, anything that you need to watch out there?
They'll keep negative rates and keep printing money just like Japan. They're insane. They're creating bubbles that once they do pop, it's going to be a nightmare. But they think they're heroes because they've been able to prop things up. But nothing ever ends well when you do what they're doing. And that's why you see them afraid to even change from negative rates, let alone the printing of money. So I'm not expecting anything different as we move forward.
Are the Fed trends that you're seeing and we're hearing about, are those a good response to what, for instance, the ECB or Japan are doing?
Well, our Fed is doing what they should do is raise rates. They've been behind the curve because of Bernanke and Yellen, so I'm happy with that. Unfortunately, the president's not now come out mad at them for doing what they should be doing, and the question is, are they going to now kowtow to the president's wishes of keeping the rates lower than they should be, and I gather we'll know in the next 60 days.
Gary, it's always kind of a changing dynamic in terms of trade, but what's your feeling right now on how we're doing in terms of trade, and are we seeing a light at the end of the tunnel in these trade skirmishes that have been going on?
Unfortunately, no. So far, all evidence in is nobody's laying down to the proposed tariffs as well as the reality of tariffs by President Trump. Now, he's the one who said tariffs are bad, so they are using it as a tactic, but a tactic is only as good if others come to the table, and so far that hasn't happened yet. I will be very worried if we ever get to that $500 billion that he's threatening with on China. I think that'll have a major impact upon the psyche of the market as well as the economy, and let's hope we never get there.
Is it problematic if it ends up being the White House that blinks first as opposed to other trading partners?
Yeah, but I deal in reality, not what the psychology is. And reality is the tariffs are bad. They've never worked in the past. I don't know where they worked in the future. And I gather if they do have to roll it back, they'll do it very quietly and timidly and try not to have it publicized. But, of course, in Trump land, everything gets publicized right now.
If you want to find out what Gary's thinking about, check out his website, GaryK.com. Lots of great updates there all the time so you can keep track of what Gary is seeing in the market. Gary Kaltbaum, President, Kaltbaum Capital Management, and a Fox News business contributor out of Orlando. Always great to talk to you. Up next, retailers look to gain share with the shuttering of Toys R Us stores.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The failure of Toys R Us is providing increased opportunities for other retailers and challenges for toy makers. And we welcome Jan Rogers Niffen, the CEO of J. Rogers Niffen Worldwide in New York. So even with all of that, Jan, Hasbro showing some strong numbers.
Well, strong numbers if down 7 in the U.S. and down 10 abroad as strong numbers. What they showed was a lot better numbers than people thought they were going to show, given how tough it is once Toys R Us goes broke. We'll see Mattel on Wednesday. They'll actually have big negative numbers on earnings, but the stock's up like 4% just based on Hasbro being stronger than we thought. So the world's looking at it going, man, we really thought this Toys R Us bankruptcy was going to kill these guys, and it really only just wounded them badly, and so we're all going to buy the stock.
So is it surprising that Hasbro is doing as well as it is, considering the fact that Toys R Us is gone, or what are the factors that are in Hasbro's favor?
Well, I think what happened was everybody decided they wanted to jump in on toys. We've seen Kohl's expand in toys. We've seen Macy's say they're going to do toys for holiday. They've never done much in toys. So everybody took a look at it and said, there's an opportunity here. And Hasbro is the best player. Most of the analysts are out recommending Mattel, not Hasbro, because they see the most opportunity there because they've been so underwater. But Hasbro's been a strong player all along, and so people see less opportunity there. But they're both really benefiting from the fact that there are other people trained to get in the game on toys to harvest what Toys R Us has to give up now that they've gone bankrupt. So, yes, I think we all expected it to be uglier than it was. I think the companies have managed it really, really well. At least Hasbro has. We'll find out if Mattel has. And I think the world is betting on, okay, we've seen the worst. It's all upside from here. They'll find new distribution points. Everybody will want to sell toys. Kids don't want less toys just because Toys R Us is gone. And these guys will manage to come back from what looked like might be, you know, the shadow of the valley of death.
Is it more the other retailers that tend to benefit as opposed to the makers of toys? Is this, for instance, a big boon for Amazon and other online retailers and those stores perhaps that also have a heavy online presence, say like Walmart or Target?
Well, you know, Toys R Us was kind of the last seller at full price on toys. Amazon's a big discounter, Walmart's a big discounter, Target's a big discounter, and they're the three biggest sellers of toys outside of Toys R Us. So they'll certainly benefit from the volumes, and they'll do a lot of business. But the toy sellers will benefit if more people like Macy's and Kohl's, et cetera, sell them, because they'll sell them at higher price points, relatively speaking, than the guys that sell them all discounting just to drag you in the door to get your business on other items. So they're betting that some of these other players will be more full price sellers, at least the investors are. I think that'll turn out to be true because I think toys is a real interesting business once Toys R Us is out of the mix. But yeah, you've still got to compete with the three biggest players, and Amazon, Walmart, and Target make it really, really hard for other people to play in the toy business. They're still going to be the primary beneficiaries of Toys R Us being gone.
Jan Rogers Niffen, the CEO of J. Rogers Niffen Worldwide in New York. Thanks as always for your perspective, always valuable. Join us at this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday, and still to come, our Monday Stock Picker.
Discussing the news affecting your money, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday, sponsored by Geiger Wealth, and regional banking apparently is one place that you might want to look at if you're thinking about some areas to invest. Matt Mategan is the CEO of Blue World Asset Managers in Chicago. So, Matt, let's start with Spider S&P Regional Banking ETF, which apparently is something that you are looking at with quite a bit of confidence.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great when individual stocks do well, but with the availability of ETFs, we get really excited when whole sectors are set to do well, and regional banks continue to fit that bill. We like them due to their focus on lending. The Fed has demonstrated a continued willingness to move the rates. That's going to benefit the regional banks from both consumer and business lending points of view as the economy continues to advance. We don't really think you can go wrong in this space. There are choices, though, when it comes to ETFs in the sector. And as you mentioned, we do still prefer the spiders, symbol KRE, for a combination of reasons, including things like the number of holdings on the ETF, the expense ratio, and their performance relative to other ETFs in the sector.
Is this in part because to the trade wars that we're seeing, are they going to have less of an impact on smaller to mid-sized companies that are sort of the bread and butter of these regional banking operations?
Yeah, that's an excellent point. We certainly think so because the target business and target consumer lending profile of these banks aren't really going to be directly hit by things at that level. So that's definitely one of our considerations.
Now, your second pick today is a name that's very familiar to people in the Chicago area, TCF Financial Corporation, symbol TCF. It is, of course, a Twin Cities-based bank, but a lot of branches and presence here in Chicago. What has you bullish on TCF?
Well, this is kind of unusual for us when we're on the noon business hour to double down on a sector, but it is a reflection of just how excited we are about it. And TCF is a leader from the KRE index. Now, it is, of course, as you mentioned, the symbol for TCF Financial Corp, which is the holding company that owns the TCF banks. And they offer the full menu of financial services to the consumers and businesses, like we just discussed. But of the 124 companies on the KRE, they're number 15 by weighting. They pay a decent dividend, but they are outperforming the S&P and the underlying KRE by nearly 50% for over half of this year. So we are we're really excited about the sector, and we're really excited about TCF.
Matt Matigi, and the CEO of Blue World Asset Managers out of Chicago, thanks as always for your perspective on this. Remember, if you've missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app. WBBM News Time, 12:55. Let's get the latest live on the market, sponsored by Top Grading Snapshot. From Bloomberg, here's Elisa Peretti.
Jim, we are holding with some small gains. The Dow up 4 points, NASDAQ adding 18 or a quarter percent, S&P up 5. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg sliding a tenth of a percent. Stocks are getting a bit of a boost from bank shares in an otherwise lackluster session. Investors consider global leaders' concerns about tariffs' impact on economic growth. Oil has resumed its downward path. We did see earlier gains following an exchange of threats between the Iranian leader and President Trump. Crude futures right now down about half a percent to $67.85 a barrel. Chipmaker stocks are in the red after Morgan Stanley said tariffs could hike prices and hurt sales, although smartphone chipmaker Qualcomm is the exception as it talks about a breakthrough that will bring 5G to our mobile phones. With business at 25 and 55. Live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.